All right, we're going to start the next talk. If you're going to stay in the room, please take a seat. If you want to leave, please leave. Okay, so next speaker is Michele, who's going to talk about a universal sparse blast library.
So, yes. At the core of many technical or scientific computing problems, we end up with reduce the problem to solving a system of linear equations. If the system of linear equations were a simple one, like a 2x2 one, the method of solving would be pretty simple. And in any case, it would involve representing the linear systems by the data structure of a matrix, so a table of symbols, or usually numbers, and a few vectors of numbers. So the matrix is the basic structure of scientific computing. In the case of such toys problems or school problems, we have exact direct solutions at our disposal, which works fine. However, once we go into the problems involving simulation of larger domains, so engineering problems, those linear systems to be solved become large, and also the methods that we use for smaller systems are not applicable here anymore, because the numerical stability of, let's say, toy problems or small problems, that stability is not here anymore. Simply, with those methods, numbers, results diverge. And the time to solution also increases more than exponentially. So they're simply infeasible and don't make sense. So it's a different, we use completely different techniques for large linear systems. So furthermore, if those systems were not only large, but also full of zeros in the matrices, so how do we call those systems, or what do we have to do with here? We have to do perhaps with sparse systems or sparse problems. This is the way we call it. So in this acoustics matrix, or matrix coming from acoustics, we observe that less than 0.5% of each row on the average has a non-zero element. So we would call this sparse system, perhaps. So the system coming from this matrix. Indeed, usually we are happy with the definition of Jim Wilkinson, where we say a problem or a matrix is sparse if we can, with our technology, which our technique, we can make use of the amount of zeros there to our advantage. So this is the definition. It's not about numbers. It's really about what we are able to do with the way the matrix looks like. So among the different matrices we can encounter, we could have matrices from a circuit simulation, which look like this and have such clustered elements in them. Sometimes the elements are more clustered around the diagonal, like in this quantum chromodynamics, I think, matrix. computational fluid dynamics matrices are a bit more regular, you could say. So it means that you can exploit all of those matrices perhaps in different ways. This is why I'm showing you this gallery. This is another CFD, so computational fluid dynamics matrix, a structural matrix, another material problem matrix, structural, and so on. This is also CFD one. So this was just to tell you that sparsity really is related to the technology we use to deal with it. Usually we are happy using iterative methods with sparse systems. iterative methods because something is being iterated. So there is a loop, and with the most common methods, Krylov methods, the loop usually has a bottleneck, has a core operation, which is prominently multiplying the system matrix by one vector or many vectors. Depends a bit on the technique. There are several of them. Here I'm showing a GNU Octave implementation of such a one iterative method. So there are two kernel operations or main operations. Multiplication of the matrix by many vectors, or let's say another dense matrix, or the triangular solve, so the solving of matrices which are called preconditioner matrices, but are sparse. And these are the core operations which we are interested in. And I want to